The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
Case 36 from the Blue Cliff Record. Changsha wandering in the mountains. One day Changsha went wandering in the mountains. Upon returning, he got to the gates. The head monk asked, "Where are you coming from, Master?" Changsha said, "From wandering in the mountains." The head monk asked, "Where did you go?" Changsha said, "First I went pursuing the fragrant grasses. Then I returned following the falling flowers." The head monk said, "How very much like the sense of springtime." Changsha said, "It even surpasses the autumn dew dripping on the lotuses." Zuedo, a commentator, added this remark, "Thanks for your reply." So we have been wandering in the mountains. It was just about a week ago that we began this coming and going sesshin. We have a group of sitters. The Sangha here participating in this sesshin is constantly changing. Not just each one of us, of course, changing on our cushions, but human beings coming and going. Some people participating by listening to these talks. Some people participating by sitting at home. You are doing, whatever we are doing, there is some energy we have created. We have indeed set out from the harbor doing this extraordinary work of waking up. And in the Zen tradition, we say the practice is no different from the goal. So the goal is to wake up. So we wake up by waking up wherever we are, right here. And we've been exploring some of the many koans of the Zen tradition, and in particular our Boundless Way tradition. And this is one of my favorites, and seemed appropriate to read this evening because we've been talking about so many different aspects. And this morning in our Dharma dialogue and in Bob Sensei's wonderful talk, about how hard it is sometimes. We are kind of partial to suffering here in the Zen tradition. I had one young person come in recently, and she was interested in sitting with us, and I said, "Well, what brings you here?" And she told me that things had been quite difficult in her life recently, and it was anguish that brought her here. And I said, "Oh, wonderful, you can come and suffer with us." And in some ways, this is what we do. And maybe we are honest about it here, which can be quite a relief in a culture that requires us to smile and to be okay. This first noble truth, the first noble truth, not the first inconvenient fact of life, right? This noble possibility of suffering, and that not that we have to court it, but that it is indeed our suffering that turns us beyond our limited mind, our limited story, towards something bigger. But Thich Nhat Hanh once said so wonderfully, "Just to suffer is not enough." And so the point of our sitting here is not the suffering contest. Oh, you're suffering more than me. I'm kind of jealous of you. I have to up my suffering quotient. But rather meeting what arises, and sometimes this meeting what arises requires incredibly strenuous effort to really call ourselves forward and to sit upright, still and unmoving, to sit in the middle of the burning house of our life, the burning house of our mind, the burning house of our heart. But also there is the quality of our practice and of our life that is reflected in this story. This great practitioner, Changsha, who went wandering in the mountains. And he gets a little lip from the guy at the gate. Where have you been? We've been doing our zazen here. What's going on with you? And he says, I've been wandering in the mountains. And I hope as we sit that we can also taste this flavor of life. All of us here are hard workers. If you were not a hard worker and somewhat neurotic about it, if you weren't, you wouldn't be here. Zen is hard work, and it's quite clear. None of this adjusting your posture, scratching your earlobe, that's heretical. So we do work hard, but also we are practicing not working hard. Although sometimes I think I am one of the only people that can make hard work out of doing nothing. People say, what do you do? Well, I've been on a retreat. Well, what do you do on the retreat? Well, we do nothing. It's really hard, you know. And partly because we make our practice into something else. The instruction is to just sit upright and breathe. Allow things to be as they are. Allow yourself to be as you are. It turns out this is quite difficult to do, but we can begin to do this even as we follow our breath. Begin to see that this wondrous breath happens quite well without our interference. This breath that has been utterly trustworthy for you all of your life, you have done it exactly right. Sometimes short breath, sometimes crying breath, sometimes can hardly catch your breath. But at every moment done exactly what was needed, your breath has sustained you. And if you think that you are the one who has been breathing all this time, look a little bit closer. One of my favorite characters in literature was in James Thurber's short story, and it was a grandfather who lived up in the attic, and he set his alarm for 15-minute segments all through the night because he was afraid if he stopped paying attention that he would stop breathing. And each one of us puts our head down on the pillow, and maybe we sleep or maybe we don't sleep. But the breath does just fine all night. And part of our work is to, as Dogen said, to take the backward step. Rather than being out in front of our life and seeking outside, trying to find that, where is that, where is that, where... riding the buffalo, the water buffalo, to find the water buffalo, taking the flashlight into the darkened room to look for the flashlight, to begin to practice trusting. And it always seems to me that it's important not to do this in an aggressive or harsh way, but as an experiment, what if just for the next few minutes you didn't have to do anything? What if you didn't have to concentrate more or be a better person or come to some insight? What if it is enough to sit here and to feel the sensation of the breath coming in and out? What if you are enough? We spoke the other day, I gave a talk about the koan of the teacher who said, all of you here, each one of you has your own light. If you look for it, you cannot see it. So Changsha is talking about following, about wandering. And he said, first I went out pursuing the fragrant grasses, then I returned following the falling flowers. What if you don't have to work hard? What if you can follow the aliveness that arises moment after moment without having to know what comes next or where it's going, without having to check how your progress is going? Well, how am I doing this period? Well, I think I'm making a little progress. This is good. This is really bad. What if we didn't have to measure? No competition. What if life is actually sweet and precious beyond measure? And each one of us here this evening gets to taste for ourselves. The sweetness gets to taste for ourselves the brokenheartedness, the poignancy. We are all alive and it will not be so forever. So this evening as we sit here, may we follow whatever arises, not as from the mind road, but energetically appreciating life in the form of this and that. So Changsha wandering in the mountains. One day Changsha went wandering in the mountains. Upon returning, when he got to the gate, the head monk asked, "Where are you returning from, master?" Changsha said, "From wandering in the mountains." The head monk asked, "Where did you go?" Changsha said, "First I went pursuing the fragrant grasses. Then I returned following the falling flowers." The head monk said, "How very much like the sense of springtime." Changsha said, "It even surpasses the autumn dew dripping on the lotuses." Commentator Shuido added this, "Thanks for your reply."